Good morning, and a good morning to those who are joining us online. It's good to be in here in church. I'm going to hand over to Alison, who's going to take us through some of the intimations.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to church. And especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor and you'd like to sign the visitor's book. Advent and Christmas services are listed there. I'll not read them all out just now, but they will be available online and they're in your printed edition so that everybody knows exactly what's going on over the festive period. Warm welcome in Sanctuary Cinema. As part of the warm welcome, we're opening the church every Thursday afternoon between 1 and 5 from November till March. The Sanctuary Cinema will show a film every week, and the film this week's are The Dinner on the 11th of December. Oh, right. Dinner's cancelled, sorry. nobody peeled the tattoos, have they? Victoria and Abdul, I should have known. So, yes, the film this week will be Victoria and Abdul on the 11th of December, and then the 18th it'll be A Christmas Carol. Films start at 2 o'clock and admission is free and tea and coffee and biscuits are provided. Advent discussion group. The group will meet on Wednesday the 10th and the 17th of December at 7 p.m. in the Irene Patterson room here at Cairney Hill. We'll be using material from Sanctuary First entitled Room at the Table. All welcome. Lego Club. There'll be a Lego Club event on Saturday the 13th of December between 10 and 11:30 in the church. Kids build something from a well-known Bible story. Children must be accompanied by a parent. Admission's free. Tea and coffee is available for adults. Contact Irene Scott. Scout Post. Details of West Fife Scout Post service for this year are available on the poster and leaflet in the vestibule. Last day is Tuesday the 9th of December, so you'll need to be quick this week. Other intimations are on the printed sheet and can be viewed on Facebook and download from our website if you don't have a copy. For those on Zoom, here is a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Anyway, it's great. It's second Sunday in Advent, and that means that Christmas is getting pretty close. And for some people, that's woohoo, and other people are going, oh, depending on how much you've got to do before the 25th of December. But we are here to remember that this is Advent, and Jesus was born, and Jesus will return, and Jesus is with us. So let's sing hymn 277, Hark the Glad Sound, the Saviour Comes. Please be seated. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we offer our gifts as a token of our love and our desire to serve you in the world. Receive and bless all that we offer. Use our giving to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, second Sunday in Advent. How many people are getting excited for Christmas? Right, okay, there's a few. How many people are going, Christmas? Right, and how many people are just scared to admit? No, I won't ask that one. We've been looking at a kind of theme of a place at the table. Do you think there'll be a place at the table at for your Christmas dinner? Who's responsible for cooking the Christmas dinner? Right, okay. I love cooking, but it's not. Christmas dinner is not my responsibility because I have a daughter who just loves to do that, and it looks like the kitchen has been half destroyed by the end of the process. But Christmas dinner appears, and I think for a lot of people, it is the famous, it is your favourite dinner of the year. So, what's your favourite bit? Is it the turkey? Stuffing. The stuffing. Pigs and blankets. Okay, how many people here just long for lots of pigs and blankets? Right. Okay. Yes, I've got a son. You'd be amazed how many he eats. I keep thinking he'll become a grown-up and won't eat as much. But on occasions, he has a three-course Christmas dinner. The starter is turkey and all the trimmings. The main course is turkey and all the trimmings. And his pudding is turkey and all the trimmings because he just loves it. And everything is cleared. So we've had turkey, pigs and blankets. Roast potatoes? Yes. Oh, the roasties. Sprouts. Right, okay, let's see. Who loves sprouts? Who can't abide sprouts? Right, okay. Well, I love sprouts. And some of my family actually love sprouts. But one of my colleagues in Dunfermline, and I won't name them, because that might be embarrassing, assured me that God created everything bar Brussels sprouts. And Brussels sprouts are the fruit of the devil, he said. I assumed he didn't like Brussels sprouts. But now, two things I just don't get. One is why you put jam on your plate. Because as far as I'm concerned, something that's red and sticky is jam. So who puts jam on their Christmas dinner? Right? And I have a wife who just loves this stuff and will eat it cold too. It's disgusting hot, and it's even worse cold. Bread sauce? Oh, oh. Well, we've all got things that we like, and we've all got things that maybe aren't quite our taste, and there's some things we just wouldn't choose. But in all of that, and all the rush of Christmas, one of the things that can be quite difficult when we get busy is actually the subject of our service today. It's called Finding Room. And part of it is finding room for Jesus, because sometimes the reason for Christmas becomes an addition. And the other is a question for us, is finding room for those who might be excluded. And sometimes we get so busy that those who are lonely are even lonelier at Christmas. It can be a difficult time for some folk. So this business of finding room, and maybe somebody that we also forget is ourselves. And it's finding room at Christmas for us, because Jesus came not for selected people, but for everybody. And he is that saviour of the world who comes and offers God's love regardless of who or what we are. And sometimes when we look at ourselves, we don't find room for us. And Jesus has room for every one of us at his table. And since we're celebrating his birth, surely it's a birthday party, and it's his table. And we should remember as we sit down and we have all the fun of Christmas and all the things we enjoy on our plates, that it is Jesus' table too. It's not just communion as the Lord's table, but all of our tables are really God's table. We're going to sing now from Mission Praise, and I hope I forgot to put that in my little note, so I'm hoping it's all working. But we're going to sing a Christmas song by Graham Kendrick called "Look to the Skies, There's a Celebration."
Thank you.
Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we travel through Advent to Christmas, as we think of all that Christmas means to us and all this season of preparation is, remind us of Mary and Joseph. Remind us of all that they believed and obeyed, the challenges they faced in their time, and the challenges we face in our time. Remind us of that familiar story. Remind us of the wonder of the eternal Son of God being born into our world. Enable us in faith to go to the manger and see the child. Help us to find in shepherds and magi the wonder of the birth of our Saviour. As we worship the Christ in Christmas, we rejoice that he is the light of the world, that there is no other gift to compare with your gift to us, that is Jesus our Lord. Almighty God, we are aware of our human frailty, and we know that this is why Jesus came into the world. We look to our Saviour as we seek your forgiveness. So hear us now as we take a moment of quiet to confess to the wrong we have done and said, and the good we have failed to do and say. You are the one who knows us completely. You are the one who longs to forgive. We rejoice as we receive your forgiveness and that knowledge that in your sight we are clean. We pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon us and that through your strength we may be enabled to be true to Jesus. By your grace and mercy, remind us that we are your children, children of the living God. And now we ask you to receive our prayers as we sum up all of our prayer in the words that Jesus gave to his disciples. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The study guide that we're using has three readings for today, but we're only going to read two of them. The first reading is about Samuel. It's quite a long reading from the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel, and there it describes Samuel in his beginning. Hannah, his mother, childless and longing for a child. Samuel born. And then Samuel, the boy who heard God speaking in the night, who goes on to be the prophet who would anoint the shepherd boy David as God's chosen king. Running through that book of Samuel is the desire of God's people to be like other nations. And in that story, the first king, Saul, is anointed. Saul fulfills what the people desire as a king. He looks right in a way that David wouldn't. but he becomes more interested in holding on to power than remembering to be obedient to God. And then we have David, most certainly not a perfect man, most certainly not a perfect king. However, for all his flaws, David's heart is in the right place. He is true to God. The readings that we are going to use are part of Psalm 72 and then the story of the announcement of Jesus' birth in Luke's Gospel. Psalm 72 seems to conclude with Amen and Amen in verse 19. But there is an additional verse which reads like an editor's comment. Verse 20 says, "This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse." Psalm 72, as a psalm of David, expresses a hope, a prayer for Solomon, his son, who will succeed him. Now, if I were to ask you, what do you know about Solomon? I'm guessing that most folk would say he was wise. And he was indeed given the gift of wisdom. History records Solomon as the one who managed to divide the kingdom, alienating the northern tribes by favouring the southern tribes. And following Solomon's reign, we have two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel in the north and the kingdom of Judah in the south. And maybe a reminder that though given the gift of wisdom, Solomon did not always exercise God's gift. And maybe we can sympathise. Each of us here have gifts. And do we always exercise our gifts well? Maybe not. David's words, his prayer for Solomon, those words are true. But there is a greater truth in that psalm. And that greater truth is that these words will not be fulfilled by Solomon, but they will be fulfilled by great David's greater son, a phrase that is used for Jesus. And then we have the story of Gabriel telling Mary that she will give birth to the one whose kingdom will never end. Elaine is going to read for us a few verses from Psalm 72 and that story from Luke's Gospel.
Our first reading is taken from Psalm 72, and we read verses 11 to 14 and then 17 to 20, the godly king. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Our New Testament reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, and we read from verse 26 to 38, the birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and it will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings.
We are singing again from Mission Praise, "Such love, pure as the whitest snow." In planning worship, it's always pleasing when things get tied together and different elements of worship come together in a common theme. As I sat down to plan for this Sunday and looking at the theme in our study guide, which says "Room at the Table, Finding Room," I was wondering where that second candle of Advent fitted. And sometimes looking for an answer, it can be just staring you in the face. And there it was. The second candle is lit for peace. And as I looked at the title, underneath "Finding a Room, Harmony and Flourishing," we very often put peace and harmony together. Peace is not an absence of conflict. True peace is far more positive and proactive. To an extent, we use the word harmony to define peace. We talk of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, and we know that we are talking about an action of God in creating harmony. Harmony with God, harmony with each other, harmony with creation. It was thinking about harmony that made me think of one of the better known authors of the 20th century, J.R.R. Tolkien. Many people here have read Lord of the Rings. A few. How many people here have seen the films Lord of the Rings? So I guessed it was probably more known by the films than by the book. These books are part of a larger mythology created by Tolkien, and to understand his bigger picture, you've got to read The Silmarillion. Who's read The Silmarillion? Nobody. Right, well, there's a challenge for you. You've got to be kind of into Tolkien to get what he's writing. But what struck me about The Silmarillion when I first read it many years ago was, before he gets onto that bit, there's a story there, and it's the story of creation. And what Tolkien does is he describes creation in terms of his mythology of Middle-earth. He describes this as music. So, to get away from his terminology, I'll talk about God and angels. God creates a great symphony of sound, and the angels perform. And that performance, the music, turns into Middle-earth. So Middle-earth is the physical embodiment of the music of the angels. But into that, one of the more powerful angels thinks the music can be improved. And the perfect harmony has discord in it. There is God's perfection and discord. And from that comes the evils of pride and greed and conflict that we find in the stories later on. Before I knew that Tolkien was a Christian, I found something that seemed deeply Christian in this description of creation. And maybe it was something that spoke to me because I love music and I also played in a brass band. And if you want to hear discord, there is nothing like a brass instrument playing the wrong note to give you an idea about discord. Harmony describes different notes coming together to make something that is greater than the individual parts. I'm sure many of us will have either played in orchestra or band or sung in a choir. And you know, when a choir is in full voice and everybody's getting the right notes, you can take the individual parts and the whole seems much more than the sum of the parts. And that's how harmony feels, and that's where I see peace and harmony allowing for a flourishing of all that is best in humanity. It's what we were created to be. Yes, maybe we were created to produce music, but we were created to live in harmony, to flourish in that harmony. The best of relationships are where we use our gifts and abilities to complement the gifts and abilities of others. The picture that is used very often in the New Testament is that of God's people being like a body. You're one body in different parts. And all of those parts have to work together for us to be whole. If you've done something terrible to damage a leg, says he, looking at one young man. The rest of you feels pretty bad, doesn't it? It's not just your leg, it's your whole body suffers because of it. Anybody who's had toothache will be able to tell the story of how that affected mood and everything. No one part of us can do everything, and we are the sum of our parts. And so it is with the church. But so it should be with all of society, because we were created to live in harmony. David's prayer for Solomon is that he will be that king who brings heavenly harmony to God's people. It is a grand vision of a nation devoted to the peace and harmony of God. But of course, history moves on through times where God's people suffer because they are not that people who are living in harmony. And too often they have rulers who are more concerned with power and wealth than obedience to God. And yet through all of the trials faced because of disobedience, in that grows a belief that God will save his people. That there will be a saviour. And so we get to that moment in time when Gabriel meets with Mary. And there is, in that time, a firm idea of the Messiah as son of David. It will be Jesus, not Solomon, who fulfills the vision. The people are looking for a saviour. At the time of Jesus' birth, Judea was at the eastern boundary of the Roman Empire. The Roman Republic had been expanding its influence for a couple of centuries, mainly in Europe. The Roman Empire under Roman emperors was a fairly new thing. They were only at the time of the second emperor. It was turbulent times. Nobody knew what was going to happen. Would that empire collapse? Would that empire expand? What was going to happen politically? It was turbulent times for the Jewish people because political power at that moment lay with Rome, but it was exercised locally by people like Herod. What was sought in that setting was a warrior king to challenge the might of Rome, the rule of Herod, and the political balancing act of the temple authorities. Most people thought it would take some kind of military victory for their idea of a saviour. For David's vision for Solomon to become a reality in a new king. The words of Psalm 72 requiring the kind of peace that comes from strength measured in earthly terms. And most people were looking for a warrior king. But God's plan was different. God's plan includes a young woman from a backwater that is Galilee. An ordinary man, a tradesman, looking forward to marriage. As well as shepherds and the magi that should never have been there in the story because they were the foreigners, the ones who didn't belong. It is to ordinary people that God sends Gabriel and chooses a route that no one would have envisaged. Palaces and power do not feature in God's plan. In fact, it could be said that palaces and power actively try to thwart God's plan. Instead, a young woman finds room for Jesus. Quite literally, finds room for the incarnation. Mary's choice is obedience. She has questions of Gabriel, but her last word is, "I am the Lord's servant." A costly decision. difficult enough facing a world where she would certainly be looked down on and might even be in physical danger too. But what lay ahead, even more testing times in terms of giving birth in a strange town and having to flee even that precarious existence. The Christmas story is far from a sugar-coated, romantic tale of a baby in a manger. Sometimes Advent and Christmas become so busy that we lose sight of our reason for celebrating. It's all too easy for Jesus to become an addition to what we are doing rather than the centre of our attention. In our rush, forgetting the peace and harmony to which we are called as Christian people. So in finding room, the theme for this week's study, we need that peace and harmony so that we can flourish. Finding room at the table by looking to Jesus as the reason for our celebration, we find that we are invited to that place of peace and harmony where we can flourish as God's people. Amen. We sing now hymn number 318, Lord, You Were Rich Beyond All Splendor. We offer now our prayers for others. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, You who sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, You who planned a salvation beyond human wisdom or understanding, hear us now as we pray for this world of which we are part. This world to which Jesus came as Saviour and Lord. As part of this fragile earth, We think of the many who suffer today because of human action and because of human inaction. We remember before you those who suffer because of natural disaster, the places on earth where storm and drought bring death and destruction, places where people have no harvest, whose livelihood is washed away. In other places, scorching heat creating a failed harvest. And because of drought, the fear and reality of wildfire. We pray for those in immediate need in our world and for all of the aid agencies that reach out to them. But we also remember the great need for us to care for the world around us. We remember those who make decisions that affect the life of the planet. But we also remember our need to care for creation, to do what is right and good. We think about the troubles that come through unjust systems and inequalities that exist within and between nations. We pray for a world where life is fair and just, and trade does not favour the rich against the poor. We pray that those in power will use that power to serve their people and remember that all peoples belong to one family on earth. We think of the damage caused by conflict and war. So we ask you to strengthen and guide those who are peacemakers. We ask you to change the hearts of those who use violence as a political tool. We pray that you will bring humanity to that place where we see our common need of each other, and in looking at the other, see that other as a neighbour to be served, so that we may live in peace and harmony. This morning, we cannot but remember those places that we have prayed for so many times. Gaza, Israel, the West Bank, Ukraine and Russia, and all other places of conflict. As we pray, we remember our own country, all who serve us in government, the decision makers of our land, and those who represent us in parliaments and council chamber. We think too of those who serve through their daily work and upon whom we depend. We pray for our health service, those who work in education, the emergency services, and all who provide our daily needs for power and water and food and so many other things. Do not let us forget the hidden workers upon whom we depend. And we ask you to bless us as we seek to serve each other in all of our words and actions as we live out our faith in the world. We pray for those who struggle through winter months because of colder days and winter weather. We remember those who are homeless and needy. We remember those who reach out through food banks and homeless shelters. Through this Advent season, be with us, your people. Bless your church so that we may be a blessing to others. Guide our words and actions as we serve in Jesus' name. And now, in a moment of quiet, hear us as we open our hearts and minds to you, offering our private and personal prayers. Hear our prayers and answer our requests. For we ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so to our final hymn for this service. Hymn number 320, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. And harmony that Jesus offers. Go with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to love and to serve. Amen.